Welcome to the latest episode of the Fuck Off Everton podcast. I'm Nathan O'Hagan.
And I'm Bill Cummings.
So we'll talk about our recent sort of run of form, which, you know, we're sort of coming on off the back of a four game winning streak, and then we're sort of picking up after a few defeats on the bounce, which, you know, it sounds like another slump, but I mean, personally, I've been okay with the sort of performance levels for the most part. I mean, against Spurs, I thought we were very unlucky. Against City, I thought we were very unlucky. You know, another dodgy penalty going against us sort of changed the City game, where I thought we were very much in it. And then an uncharacteristic Pickford mistake made it look a bit more comfortable for City than I think it was. But I thought we played well in those games, and we're unlucky not to get a couple of points from them, I think. I think Wolves was probably the only genuinely poor performance we've had in recent weeks, and it was a really poor one, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think I suppose we could go back to the Fulham to start with, because we were both there. So the Fulham Cup match, because we'd had four in a row, hadn't we? Four wins in a row, as you said.
Yeah.
And that was a really good run of form at the beginning of the month. We wiped out the deduction, as people like to say. And we hadn't conceded a goal. We beat, Burnley, Newcastle
and Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah.
All convincing wins.
And was it Forest as well, the first one?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good run. Excellent. I mean, we haven't won four in a row for years, have we? Let's be honest.
I can't even remember the last time. No.
Carlo, maybe. But, we went into that Fulham game, and I think that was the sort of sign that we were we looked a little bit leggy in that. I don't know what you thought. I mean, we still dominated the match. We still dominated the match, but we just looked a bit flat. And it's like, this is what happens during the month of December, isn't it? Because there's so many games. And also, because we've got such a small squad and a squad that Dyche only trusts, say, 13, 14 players, it's the same players over and over again. So essentially, apart from a few subs, essentially it's the same players going to the well. I thought Harrison looked pretty decent that night, but McNeil looked, I don't know, he looked a bit sluggish. I don't know what you thought. But I mean, the midfield was pretty decent. But I did feel like, because Fulham were just sitting in and kind of like keeping the ball, we had Onana and Garner in there, as in Idrissa. And it just felt like we didn't need both of them, if that makes sense. I felt like, anyway. Mm. But I thought Garner was pretty decent that night, but I just felt like two of them set in almost. And then you had, because you didn't have Doucouré, well, he's the big miss, isn't he, really?
Well, that's the thing. That's been the difference, hasn't it? Is, you know, his running, his link-up.
Yeah.
I think, especially with Dom struggling a little bit for form, Doucouré, you know, provides that good link between the midfield and the striker, and then even when he's won the ball, like in the last few games, or, you know, when Beto played recently, there's no one around them to support them. Whereas Doucouré, you know, he makes up that ground so quickly. Like, he'll be, you know, obviously drop into midfield out of possession, or he'll press depending on the, you know, the instructions. And then when the ball's going along to Calvert-Lewin or Beto, he's the one that's, you know, he's within 5-10 yards of them most of the time. Whereas Garner and the other players, you know, that's not really their role. That's his natural role, Doucouré. He's been used to do different things for us in the past. But, you know, he is that sort of, you know, breaking forward one from the midfield who wants to try and link up and make those late runs.
You know, we've
lacked that the last few weeks. And it shows, it's, you know, how important he's become, which is great for him. You know, it's great to have a player that gives you that much. But it's also worrying when you depend that much on a single player, especially one that's, you know, for all his attributes, you know, he's sort of technically a bit limited, isn't he, you know? And to be that dependent on someone who's just turned 31, you know, it shows that we need to strengthen that aspect of the team as long with...
It was like when he was out last year, when he got sent off against Spurs, and then our results slumped, didn't they, man? Because I think he's just such an important cog in terms of, he makes that whole formation work, doesn't he? And I think Dyche struggles to find a solution, because he's tried different things. I think he tried Harrison behind Dom against Newcastle, which was seemed pretty good. James Garner, yeah, he's tried different things. He tried the back five, of course.
It's not the natural role for anything. You can't quite replicate it. I mean, the obvious one we would have had would have been Iwobi, probably would have been a good backup for that. But obviously, because of where we are financially, we obviously had to sell him.
Well, that, you know, I mean, we won't go into the points deduction, but that somebody did tweet last night. It's like, we spent years trying to comply with this thing, and then they just, you know, kicked us while we were down. So basically we've had a double whammy of, like, I mean, that's not to say that a lot of it wasn't caused by incompetence from, you know, the owner and the board. Of course it was, but we had years where we had to cut our cloth and sell players such as Gordon, Iwobi, Richarlison, you know, all doing well at the moment. Surprisingly enough, even Andros Townsend is doing well at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had to sell all those because of the we were trying to comply, and we still didn't comply, and we got a 10-point. Anyway, it's just like a double whammy, isn't it?
Yeah. But even that, you know, our financial situation, even before you think of the FFP or anything like that, the reality was that we did have to sell the likes of Iwobi, who obviously would be very useful at the moment, but.
He was on big wages,
and he
wasn't going to sign a new contract, so he had to sell him. Basically,
he absolutely had to go. You know,
anyway, but
it's fantastic. But
I suppose, I was glad we got back into it, because I felt like for that game, you know, the Fulham game, it looked like we were going to lose sort of in a disappointing manner. But then we went into, and then obviously the Pens, you know, which are Pens to me is a lottery anyway. So, you know,
yeah,
I think it happened to Pens. Obviously the Onana Pen was just like, I don't get it, but you know, that's certain players who think they're being cool and, you know, stuff. And, you know, it looks good when it goes in, doesn't it? But it was just so, like, you know, tame, wasn't it? It was a tame.
Yeah, it was an awful penalty, but I'm sure, you know, he's going to learn from it. And
yeah. But ultimately,
it was just one of those where it was an opportunity to get into a semi-final and then a final, and you know, we sort of found a way to self-sabotage a little bit. But
we didn't look at it, did we? We didn't look at it, and then we went into a tough, you know, tough run of games. Really, I mean, you know, you got City.
Yeah, City and Spurs, but say the performance levels in those two games were really encouraging.
Good.
I thought.
I think the problem with City. Go on.
Especially, you know, as we did look like he against Fulham, my worry was that, you know, the sort of compressed fixtures and the small squad, you know, it was going to start to really tell on us at that point. And I was worried that over Christmas and New Year, we were going to look really, really tired. But the encouraging thing in those two games was that the energy levels were a lot better. They were more like they had been before the Fulham game.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging. Obviously, the results went against us. You know, a couple of stupid goals against Spurs, especially the first one. You know, really basic stuff, just letting the ball be played in between the full-back and centre-back. And obviously, Richarlison had to score, didn't he? But then once we were two behind, you know, we still should have got a point from it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A little bit of better finishing and a bit of better luck. And obviously, a far going against us for Dom's finish.
Because Dom's been struggling a little bit, hasn't he? Would have been giving him a boost, really.
That was a good finish as well. Yeah.
Very good finish, you know. And that's the kind of thing you would want to see from him, like a first-time finish. Some of these chances he's had recently, like he had one in the City game at 2-1, and he just put it past the post. And
he had to score that one, yeah. And that's the kind of one where you expect him to score, even when he's struggling. Because that seems to be his strength, is those first-time instinctive ones where he doesn't have to overthink it.
I suppose
silly under a Carlo, that's how he was.
Yeah, first time strike.
We were getting him in the 6-yard box, getting the ball in, and he was just finishing the first time, and he didn't have to overthink it. So you would have expected him to put that one away against City and then hopefully go on a run. But obviously, you know, he's still, you know, he just needs that goal, doesn't he? And his levels to pick up a little bit.
I mean, you have to remember he hasn't had a run like this for like two seasons, really. Like
The other thing, we've still got to think about managing his fitness and everything. And
I do think that.
Still that's striking that right balance.
Yeah, I mean, we can go into that. But I mean, yeah, like you said, the Spurs game, we were unlucky not to come out of it with a point. Even at the end, Dan Gimmer had a couple of chances and stuff.
Yeah.
We were unlucky. We were like very close to getting a point there. And really, Spurs give you those chances because they're really playing really high line. Yeah. And Gomez actually came on, didn't he, and did quite well, really. He was picking up players and stuff.
The forgotten man, yeah. I mean, he was... I mean, the hysterical reaction to his performance, though, I thought was funny. The thing about our fan base, you know, you've got Dom in a sort of bad run of form, clearly. And, you know, you look at the Everton Dars on Twitter and it's like, you know, sell him, he's finished, he's rubbish. You know, he's not rubbish, he's just struggling for form. You know, do people forget so quickly how much he's contributed when he has been fit, you know, when he's played and his link-up play and everything. Even this season, for long stretches, he's been excellent. He hits a few bad games and people want to absolutely bin him off. You know, Gomez has not even played for like 2 years, obviously been on loan.
Yeah.
And then his injury, and he comes on and has one good game and people are talking about awarding him a new contract. You know, it's just such hysteria either way, isn't it? And like,
yeah.
Makes one mistake against City, and people saying he's a liability. You know, our fan base just infuriate me sometimes. The extreme reactions to like isolated moments or, you know, short periods of games or short runs of games.
I think a lot of fan base are like that on Twitter, to be honest. But yeah, I do agree. I think we are like a sort of bipolar. But we're a bipolar club in a way. Even talking about this, like, you know, we won 4 games and then lost 3 or 4 games. So it's like, you know, it's one of them. We are one of those teams because we haven't got a big squad and we've got some injuries. Garner's been injured as well. So it just, you know, it's always going to be up and down with Everton, isn't it? Unless, you know, we need to like, you know, sort of build something sustainable, but it's not going to be. Unfortunately, we're not going to be, you know, winning every week. So we have to be, like you said, realism. But I suppose that that's made it a bit more twitchy because we had at one point we had a 7-point gap, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then Luton have won 2 games, so that's kind of made people more twitchy. I think it's made
me. That's
more
all
twitchy.
It takes for a big swing, doesn't it? You know, and that's all it takes for us again to pull clear is a couple of wins.
Yeah.
And we just need to, you know, get back to those winning ways.
Go back on a good run again.
Yeah, I feel quite confident that we will. We just need to, you know, dig out the first win.
Yeah.
And then I think we'll go on another, you know, not saying, you know, 4 wins on the bounce without conceding a goal or anything like that. But, you know, we'll start to build something a bit more again. But you mentioned, like, the squad being stretched. Sort of brings us to one talking point is the fringe players. Which we've sort of talked about, you know, in our sort of private chat and stuff about Dyche's reluctance to put in certain players and why that is. And like Dan Juma, as an example, has been getting a bit more game time, but there's talk of him possibly going to Lyon to complete the season if we don't start giving him more minutes, because obviously his parent club want him to be playing while he's out on loan. And he maybe will be looking at going elsewhere if he feels he's not going to get more minutes. But as I was saying to you last night, I think it's just a trust thing, isn't it? With where we are at the moment and what Dyche needs and wants from players. Obviously, he values sort of graft and the ability to tactically stick to the job more than sort of flair or like creativity. Obviously, he wants people to create chances and goals and everything, but if you can't trust someone like Dan Juma to come in for McNeil, who even McNeil at like 70% fitness, he obviously thinks he will give him more in that role than, say, Dan Juma will. Dan Juma seems to be used more as like a game changer when we're struggling and need to switch things up rather than having that full trust in him yet to go on and do the job from the start.
Start games, yeah. No, I get that. I do get that. I get all that. And I don't think Dyche does trust him. But and like you said, it's a bit like the Gray situation last year. It's almost like Dyche has to trust the player to follow instructions and do the job. And I get all that. But I just think there are times where I do think he could be given a bit of more of a run. Because I just think it's not even just about the player himself. I feel like it's sometimes you need to, like, when you're playing that many games in a short space of time, it's just physically impossible in some ways to play, game after game and still be as effective. And I think we have seen that, you know,
you have a lot of, you know, sort of ex-pros on the various podcasts. And I know the game's changed a lot and like the speed and intensity is a bit different, but you know, lots of sort of recently retired ex-players are quite dismissive of the whole needing a rest thing. And
I know, but you see it though, don't you? I mean, even, you know, like Wolves and Fulham, you could see, especially with McNeil, he just looked knackered, you know? And that's not to say he's not, still can't do a job, but he just looked knackered.
Yeah.
I just think sometimes you do need to rest. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, I agree generally. I think McNeil and Harrison are the obvious starters, you know, and they've done pretty well. And Harrison's done pretty well, I think, you know. But, but I just think there are times where you can. But I suppose Dyche sees it, you know, he, like you said, he sees them in training and he sees that. I think Dan Juma to me would be more of a split striker. But again, he probably doesn't trust him to do what Doucouré does, which is drop back into the midfield. So, but I suppose what we're seeing is eventually you hit a wall like Wolves, the Wolves game. I mean, I was partly formational, I think, because playing five at the back, I just don't think it necessarily suits us. Although we did well with Burnley, but Burnley were a different team and we had Keane and Godfrey in there, didn't we? Whereas, you know, putting Keane in the middle of a partnership of Tarkowski and Brantwick, which has been doing really well, I just think it confuses them in a way. And also it just doesn't, I don't know, it just seemed to play into Wolves' hands. But, you know, Wolves are in a good run of form and it was always going to be a tough game. They've won like 7 games at home in a row. So
I mean, they are a really good team, Wolves, and they were excellent and, you know, thoroughly deserved to beat us. You know, there was only one team in it. But like the thing with the going to the back three, I can understand that like sometimes against certain teams you need to like switch up, match them up in their formation, but it just didn't work against Wolves. No, against Burnley it worked perfectly. Against Wolves it didn't work.
I don't think Burnley were expecting it. I think Wolves are so used to playing back three. They've been playing back three since I saw them in the Championship like 5 years ago or whatever it was. You know, they're used to that system. We just play occasionally, don't we, these days? I just think we look more comfortable in a, you know, 4-5-1 or whatever it is, or 4-2-3-1 or whatever.
Yeah, well, I expect us to switch back to that. But, I mean, it's also, you know, the enigma that is Michael Keane. I mean, you know, he played well against Burnley, that one game where he came in. And obviously, Dyche has got history with him. And, again, you know, it's the trust thing. You know, he knows he's going to get, well, he expects certain things from him, but his sort of loyalty to him last season was at times baffling.
Yeah.
And in the early part of this season, admittedly, it was only a few weeks before he put Branthwaite in and let him form a good partnership with Tarkowski. But if we were going to go to another back three against Wolves, I thought probably Godfrey would have deserved to play on the right side of that three with Tarkowski in the middle and Branthwaite on the left. But if you're going to, you know, go with that three, I think Godfrey probably played well enough against Burnley, just from a sheer defensive point of view. But see, the thing with Keane, he just baffles me, because obviously he has strengths as a player and as a defender. You know, you don't get to play in the Premier League and play for England unless you're a very good footballer. But he seems to get, there's a thing he does all the time. Like when, like I say this even when I'm coaching like the kids teams, like the grassroots kids teams that I coach, if the ball goes like in behind, you know, if you get caught out with the ball sort of diagonally or in behind you, the most important thing, it's so basic, is to just readjust your body shape. You know, you get yourself into a position where you're not facing towards your goal when the ball comes in. And Keane seems to do that all the time. Like, I've lost count of how many own goals he's scored or goals we've conceded where it's been down to him getting caught out and then getting turned around and then not readjusting his body shape. So he's either facing towards where the cross is coming from, or better yet, angling his body. So he's facing, you know, half towards the ball, half out, you know, to the opposite direction of the pitch.
Yeah.
And this is something that I tell, you know, under 12s. You know, in the lowest league in our age group. And they seem to get the idea, but he doesn't seem to. And that's one thing about him that completely baffles me, that he repeatedly scores own goals doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I was watching him against Fulham and I was thinking, he was all right, and then, but then he makes one mistake and his head just goes. It wasn't even a mistake with that, because he went up for a header.
Yeah.
And he caught the man on the way down with his arms. Yeah. Then the ref, I mean, the ref was awful, but you know, what, you know, wasn't, you know, it always, it, they always are at the moment, yeah. He caught him, and then he got a yellow, and his head just seemed to go after that. And we had a few free kicks. And as you said, Patterson was to blame as well. He wasn't tracking his runner.
Yeah.
And then the corner, you know, a cross came in and it flicked Keane, of course, and went past the keeper. But it just seemed to be, he was doing okay. And then he just, I don't know, he's a confidence defender, which
you don't want
can't
to
be
back,
a confidence yeah. defender. No.
No.
Like you said, I think he's had a problem with his footwork for years, because didn't he talk about it during Carlos, era, where he talked about he'd work with a coach to sort of work on his footwork. So he was obviously aware of it. Yeah. So I think it's two things. It's his footwork. Like you said, he looks a bit awkward sometimes, and like he's facing the wrong way and stuff, like you said, technically, but also he hasn't got that pace, has he, to get back? Like, whereas Branthwaite, if he does miss, you know, something, he'll go back because he's mobile. But with Keane, he just seems to, he can't, you know, he hasn't got recovery pace, basically.
No, but you can compensate for that by things like positioning and, you know, body position.
Well, Tarkowski, Tarkowski isn't rapid. But
no, he's not the quickest, is he? But
solid, isn't he? And he knows where to be and stuff. Yeah, I just think Michael Keane, I think it's long since time that he should have left the club, really. I mean, how long has he been there? 8 years, apparently, somebody said the other day.
God, is it that long?
Yeah, I just think he should have left, really, years ago.
Well, he's one of those baffling decisions, like him and Holgate being given new 5-year contracts after like half a good season under Carlo, when they did have a decent run with them as the first choice pair.
That's right.
After like, you know, 12 weeks of them playing quite well, they got these massive new contracts, including this ridiculous one Holgate's on, where it automatically went up to like 100,000 a week or something.
That's another litany of our financial mistakes, really, isn't it?
You know, I don't like to get on, you know, players' cases. Like,
no, and he's had good runs of games as well.
Yeah, and, you know, clearly he has ability, and he seems
like a nice bloke
as well.
Yeah, I just think he wants to do well, and he seems like a nice guy. But I just don't think... I think Dyche is going to keep him around, because, as you say, he trusts him as a person, but I just don't think... I think we need to move past him, really.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think, you know, if we were to get a good offer, you know, Dyche would let him go. If we were getting a suitable kind of offer that he could reinvest or whatever, but you know, because of the money he's on, it would be hard to shift. Like, same with Holgate.
You wonder about Godfrey as well, because if he's not playing in a game like that, then you wonder if he's going to be sold in a way.
Yeah.
You do wonder, because in a way, he's got more. He's younger. He's got, like, you know, I could see him being sold. You know.
Yeah, potentially.
I like him, but he. He never developed because of his injuries and because of where he plays, and because basically we've had better centre backs than him in terms of aerial and other positional dominance and stuff. You know, he's good. Like you said, I think for a game like, you know, we'll get onto it now, but like the Palace game, I think for a game like that, he'd be good, you know, to put in. But because like they've got a lot of pace, and I think he could be decent. But yeah, I don't know.
Sticking Keane in there, it
confuses that. I just think they all look confused, to be honest. And it was, again, it was another game too far, wasn't it? And we'll have to hope once we get, like, and that's the crazy thing about the schedule is, like, they're all about this, you know, they've got this winter break now, but it's like, well, you had too many games in, how many games was it in December? 9 games?
Yeah, something ridiculous like that.
And then you're going to have 2 games in January, and then one of them is a cup game. It's just mental, really, to me. And it just favours certain squads that are much stronger than us.
Yeah, if you've got the luxury of, you know, chopping and changing and bringing flexible ability.
Yeah. Another point I was going to make is, I think as much as we did well against Spurs and in the first half against City, they're two teams you don't want to play when you're knackered because they just keep the ball and they're good. There's a lot of running involved in those two games. So yeah. I think that did have an impact on the Wolves game, basically, because it's mainly the same players, you know, playing every time. What about Beto? I mean, do you think he needs a few more? I wonder if, because when he came in, when Dom was injured initially, I mean, obviously Dom is a superior striker, you know, at the moment. Yes. But I just felt like when he had a run, he was a better player, Beto. I feel like he's not as good when he's just coming off the bench. But he feels like
more of an impact player at the moment. I mean, I like him, you know. He's already a massive cult hero, isn't he? You know, because of his willingness to run and everything. He's like a better Dennis Strakwalasi, you know. He'll obviously just run all day for you, but he's a bit more technical than...
He's more like nowhere near as good as Rom, but like that kind of, you know, he runs in behind, so that kind of powerful striker, you know, that kind of, you know, not
but
the same.
When he's got the ball at his feet, I'm not yet convinced. You know, I think he needs like
more like Paolo Wanchope.
I don't know. Even he seems a bit more in control, but you know, a lot of time will tell, obviously. But I think at the moment, he's more of an impact player.
Yeah.
As he acclimatises to the league. But the thing with Dom, like, that when a striker's in form, you know, in poor form, you think either, so there's two options, either you sort of take them out to sort of give them a rest and protect them a little bit, let them get the confidence back, or you tell them to play through it, play through the lack of confidence, which I personally think it is the preferable option, because you just need one to go in off your arse, as the old cliche goes. You just need that one goal, and that puts for a striker's confidence is just immeasurable. And I still think he offers us more in general than Beto does, albeit, you know, he is struggling even with like holding the ball up and stuff at times. But, and especially once we get Decore back, I think we'll hopefully see more of him, because he will thrive on having someone who can do that link up play a little bit better. But yeah, I like Beto a lot, and I think we'll probably be able to judge him better next season, really, when he's acclimatised to the league and had a full pre-season and all the rest of it. And then hopefully we'll have the luxury of actually rotating the two of them and not really losing anything. But they're slightly different.
They are, because what you could do with Beto,
they're not really the same player.
What you could do with Beto, you can put it around the corner, can't you, and let him run onto it. Whereas with Dom, it's more of an aerial... You get him, you know, you get him holding the ball up and stuff. So, but yeah, like you said, without Decore there to get close to Dom, then it doesn't help him be effective, really, in a way, because there's he's been quite isolated in a lot of these games. I mean,
no one's been within 10 yards of him at the time he has got the ball. No one's been anywhere.
I mean, have you ever considered, like, would it be good to, like, at times, I'm not saying from the start, because I don't think you can do it these days as much, but to try both of them?
I think that's something we'll probably only see, like, in moments of, you know, not desperation necessarily, but chasing a game. I don't think they'll work together, particularly, other than if you're just going for a late equaliser or, you know, desperate for a late winner or whatever, and you just want to get balls into the box for both of them.
Yeah.
But I'd have no objection to see, I'd quite like to see it just, you know, in the last
10 minutes, like just to see it. We haven't really seen it, have we? That's the thing.
I don't think it's happened for more than
because 10 minutes. You could imagine Dom, like, flicking it on and him running onto it. You could imagine that. You
know? Yeah. But vice versa,
it does leave you sort of exposed in midfield, so.
Yeah. But then. Obviously, you go to the orthodox 4-4-2, and you just have your two centre mids, you know, taking turns to sit, and the wingers, or wide midfielders as it is in a 4-4-2, just getting the balls into the box, and then fullbacks overlapping and the wide midfielders covering. You know, it's a complete change of system, but yeah, I'd have no objection to seeing it from time to time. Just go a bit old school and have two big men up front.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just an option. I mean,
the
rest of the team has to work really hard when it's 4-4-2, really. But these days, you just get dominated, unfortunately. But we have got to think of an option when Decore isn't there. Because as you said, he's 31 now. You have to think that he's not going to be able to play every game. You know, you have to... Is this where we look? You know, I mean, I know Kevin Fairwell's come out and said it's very unlikely we're going to do any business. But if a player comes up that we like, we'll go for it, you know. So that to me suggests we may get one loan if we're lucky.
I think depending on the extent of it. I think even then we'll probably be looking at sending someone else out on loan to free up some wages, even if it's just like a couple of the youngsters, like, you know, maybe Metcalf, who's been on the bench. I can't imagine his wages are much, but if you send a couple of them out, maybe that frees up a little bit to pay part of someone's wages or something. But we're just so tight, you know. He's done the right thing, sort of dampening expectations, because all you do once you get to the transfer window, you're just constantly reading all the gossip, seeing who's linked with who. But we just have to be realistic and realise that anyone we're linked with, 99% of them, it's going to be complete bullshit, and we're probably not going to sign anyone. If we bring a player in on loan, I'd say that's a good transfer window, because I don't expect us to do it.
No, I think, I mean, you recalled Holgate, because he wasn't getting a game at Southampton. I could see him being either sold or punted on loan somewhere else again.
I'll bring him back and, you know, loan him out again.
Warrington, maybe, Dobbin. The thing with Dobbin, though, is, like, I think someone would have to come in, as in, you know, a player would have to come in for him to go out on loan, because he has looked quite, you know, useful when he's come on, so.
Yeah, I think he'd probably be reluctant to let him go.
Yeah.
Out on loan, because, as you say, you know, we haven't got much cover in the wide areas. So
unless there's, like, the two, the couple of players I've seen us linked with, I mean, again, as you said, it's very unlikely, so take it with a health warning, but one was Brownhill.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to.
No, I think that might be more one for the summer, because he'll be out of contract.
Possibly. Yeah.
But he might be a reasonable sort of squad player, or, you know, first team player.
Yeah, I think he'd be an okay
rotation. Yeah. Yeah. And Dice knows him. And then somebody mentioned last night, a couple were mentioned last night on loans, right? These, Diallo from United.
Isn't he a wing back?
He's a winger. And he played, I don't know where he was on loan in the Championship, and I saw he scored 13 goals. It was last season, I think. Hang on, let me have a look. Where was he playing?
Wasn't Birmingham, was he?
But basically, the reason he's been brought up is he is available on loan, apparently.
Right.
So, this is why it's brought up. Sunderland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He scored 13 goals.
Yeah.
Not bad. And he's a midfielder, and it has winger on his Wikipedia page as well. So, whatever that means.
I think he is more of a wide player. I'm not sure he'd help us. I think we need a centre mid if we can bring in anyone. We need someone who can give us a bit more in the middle. So that wouldn't really help us in that regard. So
no, I'm just bringing, I'm not saying we're going to get these. I'm just they're bringing up people who've been mentioned. And the other one somebody mentioned was Smith Rowe from Arsenal, who would be, I think, a very good signing.
He'd be great. I mean, we've talked about him before, you know, as being like a type that we'd like, but, you know, not him as a realistic option. But I mean, obviously, if he was an option, I think he would definitely make us better. But I can't see that being a likely one. I imagine his wages are pretty high, even if Arsenal were willing to pay part or even half of his wages.
Well, this is why somebody like
us got the loan fee that people forget about. People think, oh, you know, you've only got to cover half their wages or some of their wages or even the full wages, but you have to pay a loan fee as well most of the time. And he's probably going to be like a 5-10 million loan fee or something, maybe not 10, but yeah, probably around 5 million.
Which
we just can't afford.
Somebody said we're paying $3 million for Danjuma, and that's a loan.
So you can only imagine what Smith Rowe's going to cost in a loan fee. So I think that alone just rules him out.
It's probably unrealistic, but he's barely played because he's been injured. Yeah. So, but I suppose maybe the reason somebody like Diallo has mentioned is that he's probably on a lower wage, you know?
Yeah.
He's probably on a lower wage because he's a youngster. He's sort of, you know, and they're probably, and you know what, like, United are like, they like to get their players out on loan and sort of, like, you know, what was that one we were linked with in the summer? We went to Forest, Angala.
Yeah.
He's done pretty well, actually.
Yeah, so, he's done pretty well, hasn't he?
Well, we couldn't afford him. He was 15 million, so.
Yeah,
there you go. But, I think generally, I think the areas, if we were being in an ideal world, the areas we need would be a midfielder, because Garner's off to the African Nations.
Yeah.
And he's got an injury as well. And when you look at our midfield options, especially with Decore injured as well. Basically, we've got...
We've just got no cover.
No, we've got James Garner and Onana, and then we've got Gomez, who's played like 1.5 games in 18 months. So,
yeah.
And then we've got kids. So, yeah, it's very stretched. If we only had one loan, I think it'd be a midfielder who could play like mid central and also off a striker. That would be ideal. But they were also in the summer because we were also after Nonto, weren't we, at the time? If we could get a winger on loan as well. But I think loans always come up like later in the window, don't they? Because people get desperate.
They tend to be last minute. Yeah.
They do. So I think that's more likely. And also, we've only got two games this month. So I could see it more, something more happening in the end. And also, like you say, we'll have to loan players and sell players ourselves again, you know?
Yeah.
It depends what's going on with this whole 777 stuff.
Yeah, who knows
whether that goes through or not. It's a weird one, that, because I just don't understand how they... I mean, I get the model of the multi-club model thing, and they're, you know, like an investment portfolio of, you know, various people, aren't they? But how do they actually fund these things?
That's one of the big questions with them, isn't it, is where the money's actually coming from or whether they've actually got the money. I mean, they've had clearance from... what is the Financial Conduct Authority or whatever, they've had sort of approval from them, so now it's just down to FA and Premier League approval, I think, whether it actually goes through. But they will have to provide proof of funding, and lots of people speculate that they won't be able to do that when it comes.
Who knows?
Well, we certainly don't know.
It's weird, isn't it? It is a weird one, but...
I would rather it wasn't them. I would rather that...
I would, but...
They got knocked back, and then, you know, someone else is waiting in the wings, which, you know, obviously there's rumours of that as well. A couple of American firms waiting for that to sort of go under, and then Mashiri to maybe drop his asking price a little bit, and then move in. But we don't know who it is waiting in the wings. Could be someone even worse. Could be those...
Well, that's it. And the thing is...
Take us over a while back, the one who's mates with Steve Bannon and Trump, you know, could end up with even worse than 777.
Kaminsky, well, there was MSP as well involved. But the thing is, all of these firms, you just don't know, do you? You just don't know. I mean, the problem is, also, is that with 777, I mean... They've already got clubs, haven't they, in France, Brazil, all over the place, and Genoa. Yeah. And there's it's mixed. It's very mixed in terms of two of their clubs have got transfer embargoes.
Yeah.
Genoa are doing a bit better. But then, I just don't know. I think the fact that they've got those clubs, does that make it more likely that they'll get waved through here? I don't know. I don't, but, and also, they've already lent us over 100 million, haven't they, to keep the club going. So, even if someone else came in, you'd be looking at, they'd have to pay Mashiri, these guys back. I think MSP put something in for the stadium.
Yeah.
You're looking at a lot of money, you know. You are looking at a lot of money. But,
Mashiri needs to drop his asking price, you know, if this does go under, you know, he's got to be more realistic about what he can get.
Yeah, he might, if this flops, he might put it right down, mind you, and someone else might come in, but who knows? But I suppose you just want it sorted one way or the other, really.
Yeah, it's just another bit of sort of cloud of uncertainty, isn't it? You know, as things are sort of starting to look a bit more stable on the pitch, you have the points deduction, you've got this going on. We don't really know what the outcome's going to be. We don't know what the outcome of the appeal's going to be. But I'm still... Uncharacteristically, I'm not massively worried about us yet this season. I still think we've got enough to be safe. I think we're in good hands for the sort of short to medium term. Obviously, I'd like to get some points back, and I do think we will. We won't get the 10 points back, but I think we'll get between like 3 and 5 back maybe. And I think that'll make the difference, and it'll be such a blow to the teams around us. But I think even without that, If we assume we're getting nothing back, which is what Dyche has told the players to do, even without that, I still think we'll just about be okay. This could come back to haunt me, obviously.
I suppose my fear was all along is that because we'd had that 10-point, even when we were on a good run, it just takes like one just to go on a bad run. And then we're back in the mire again because, and then Luton, and also what I don't like about the whole point, I mean, not to go into it in full depth, but what I don't like about it is it went straight on and that gave the clubs at the bottom a boost, I think. It gave Luton a boost and Luton have won two games at home. But then I watched Luton the other day and to be honest, they're not that great. So ultimately,
they've got a good team spirit.
Yeah, they've got a few decent players, but they're very basic. They could easily go on another losing run themselves. Yeah. And they've got tough fixtures and stuff.
I think they will, to be honest, yeah.
So, and what we've got that they haven't got is we can come up with X-factor results, such as, you know, they're not going to be beating Newcastle at home, I don't think, you know, or beating Chelsea. Well, no, they didn't beat Chelsea at home. That's the point. That's
they
what
almost beat Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, well, almost isn't enough, is it?
Cause they, no, it's not.
They are definitely better at home, and I'll give them credit, you know, because I wasn't expecting them to do as well as they're doing. So, but ultimately, you know, it looks like it's going to be between us and them, or possibly Brentford seem to be coming into it.
Brentford might get sort of sucked into it, yeah.
Yeah, but it depends with them whether Tony comes back or not.
Yeah, it's going to be the bottom three, I think. I feel quite confident that the three that came up are going to go back down, and we're going to finish, you know, around sort of 15th. 16, something like that, even without getting the points back. And then if we get some or all points back, we'll finish a bit more comfortably.
I think we'll be okay, but it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating, that's all. It's just in terms of, like, we shouldn't have to worry about it this season, but we are again. That's what's the sort of Groundhog Day, Doomsday, Abertonian in you, like the PS, what do you call it? PTSD.
Yeah.
It, you know, from the last 2 years, it just comes back as soon as you're below... You're behind, you know.
But this just feels different to me this season. It doesn't feel like the last two.
Yeah, because I was looking at a thing with Dice this season, and actually our form is like mid-table, solidly mid-table. Yeah. So, you know, if we keep that up the next 18 games, I think we are reliant, though, on not, you know, not having massive injuries.
Yeah, of course, you know.
And I think it'll be better as well, like, when we go to the one game a week, to focus on those one game a week. I mean, we could talk a bit more about Palace in a minute, but I was just looking at our next set of fixtures and stuff, and we've got Villa at home. Is it Fulham away?
Yeah.
And then we've got Tottenham at home, Man City away, and Palace at home. So... tough fixtures.
There's no easy fixtures, are there?
No, there aren't. But if we could get ourselves together and sort of like start playing as we were before, then I think we'll still get points out of that. Maybe not like you said, maybe not like runs and wins, but like, you know, three on them. But we'll get like the odd draw, win here and there.
Yeah.
Enough to sort of keep us away from the dreaded drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's when you've got a small squad, it's tough, you know. So, and you like, but people like Coleman coming back might help. I think got Coleman coming back,
Decore coming back,
Hopefully, maybe one or two loan signings if we're lucky.
Maybe one.
Yeah, I'm just going to say one. Yeah, like you're right. If we could get somebody who could play in midfield and play that 10, that would be ideal, I think. I don't know who, but like you say, you're probably right about Smith Rowe. But there'll be players, like there's even players on City's bench. There's that guy, Bob. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Austin Bob or whatever. There's even players like that, you know, it might be worth an ask, you know. Just the low.
Sure, you know, if there's any possibility, you know, then Thelwell et al. will be looking at it, and they'll have players in mind that they want, and if it becomes an option, then they'll go for it. Otherwise, you know, we'll just have to stick as we are.
Yeah. Another one mentioned was Den Donker. I think he was mentioned a few years ago, though. He's at Villa now, isn't he? He was at Wolves, and now he's at Villa.
A couple of times we tried to sign him.
I think it's because Thelwell knows him, basically. Yeah. And I also with him, he can play. Yeah, he can play like holding midfield and the back as well.
Orthodox
centre. He's a useful player, but will Villa want to let him go when they got like Europe and everything?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, I don't. And they're joint top. So what do they want to?
Why would you lose that?
That will be a tough game. Although I will say Villa aren't as good away from home as they are.
They're beatable. They're having a really good season, and Emery's done a brilliant job. But they're beatable the way that they play. You know, invite. You know, the possibility to sort of getting behind them and.
Yeah, and we did quite well.
We can't get something. We wish. Awful against them early in the season, I'd say. The Wolves performance were our worst performances. Yeah. But
we beat them in the Carling Cup, though, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And that was playing three at the back. Anyway, I suppose just a quick look ahead to Palace, wrap up with that. I mean, would you make many changes?
I don't think we've got the luxury of making many changes. I think he'll go back to 4-5-1 most likely, especially if Decore's fit. I'm not sure whether he's back in the match squad or not, but I think he might be on the bench. But either way, I think he'll probably go back to the back four, but that may be dictated by fitness and injuries and availability, which, you know, it has been in the past. You know, he's had to make changes based on what he's got available. So late fitness test for some, maybe.
I could see two or three changes, not like a wholesale change, but like two or three changes.
I think maybe Better will get a game.
Maybe Better up front, maybe. I don't want to say Dan Juma because whenever you say him, he never starts. So possibly Dan Juma, but possibly the likes of Coleman, Godfrey, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, Coleman might start, yeah.
I think apart from that, it'll be the same pretty much. But I don't know whether Onana needs kind of a rest because he's looked a bit knackered and sort of like he had a knock at various points. Like, in the last
he did have a
games.
Bit of a knock against City, didn't he? He looked like he was going to come off.
You wonder if maybe Gomez will start as well, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, in a midfield five, maybe.
Yeah,
he'd
possibly.
Even start if we were in a 3-4-3 or a 3-5-2 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, we'll see.
I can see two or three changes.
Nice to get another run in a cup, wouldn't it? I mean, it was disappointing to go out against Fulham. I know, obviously, the league's got to be priority, but also you just want to win wherever it's in, don't you? Because you just need that momentum to start building again.
Yeah, I think as we said, the Fulham, in a way, like that was a bit of a knock losing there, but, on pens. But it can work the alternative way as well, can't it? If you get a win in the cup, it can give you a bit of a boost, you know?
Yeah, the most important thing is momentum, and whether you build that first in the cup or the league, you just need to start getting those wins
again.
Saw that 95. Absolutely.
Were we in the bottom three when Joy Royal came in? We were struggling. We were struggling.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, he won the cup. Dogs of War.
Yeah.
Stayed up. That was a good season, that.
Yeah.
That was a good season. Anyway, but if we can keep what we've been doing, we can replicate basically what we did in the first half of the season, the second. I mean, maybe we won't, but even if we just got three quarters of that, we should be okay.
I think we've just got to sort of write off the Wolves game as, you will always have bad games.
You will.
You can't always keep the same levels game every single game, you know, and that was just a bad day at the office. And
what I would say, with Dyche, it's like we seem to be either winning or losing. We don't like, dig out those points, do we? We don't get, like, the odd point here and there. That's the only thing I would say.
If you could convert a couple of those defeats into draws, even, you know, snatch a point to Spurs that we deserved at home to City, and then, you know, 2 points make a big difference.
Sometimes it's just like it's better, obviously it's better not to lose than.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
But, it's a funny one. I've read some stat about us not coming from behind as well. That's another issue.
Yeah, I don't think
we've
got any points, never mind not. Getting a win, I don't think we've even managed to get a point since after going behind.
We need to do that second half of the season. We need to do that because we probably will.
Given the characteristics that he sort of managed to embed into a little bit, it's surprising that we've not managed to do that, really.
Yeah, because we did it a bit when he came in last, the end of last season, didn't we? Was it the Wolves game?
Was really late winners a couple of times.
Crucial point we picked up.
So it's surprising that, that stats come in really in recent
seasonally. In a way, the formation he plays, in a way, like you'd expect us to be really hard to beat, which we are sometimes, but or a lot of the time we are. But
yeah,
you think playing that way you would be more of like a picking up the odd draw here and there. Mm. But we seem to be like feast or famine, don't we? We seem to be like excellent or. Mm.
But then, you know, it's still early days, isn't it? You know, in his time at the club.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, you look at the sort of positive things that he has changed. You would hope that will come as well, you know, that bit of resilience, like, within games, not so much game to game, which he's obviously sort of got that into the squad and has generally sort of begun to finally change the mentality, which is a thing he's talked about from day one and repeatedly since, is changing, like, the mindset.
Yeah, because really...
On the whole, he's definitely done that, but
yeah, know, changed the story and all that.
Yeah, to then be able to come from behind it within games, you know, would be the next thing I'm sure he wants to add into it. You know, no doubt he's well aware of that stat and will be looking to correct it.
Yeah, and you know, if you take out the points deduction, we'd be like 12th. We'd be like, we wouldn't be worried. I think that it has like heightened the bipolarity of the fan base, to be honest.
Mm.
The fact that we're down there again, even this time, not through our own making in a way.
Yeah.
That has made the fans, like, every time there is a loss, it's, you know, it's panic station. But then Everton has always been like that. Even when we were in the Moyes days, I remember that. It'd be like, if we lost, we'd go on a good run. And then if we lost, it'd be like, oh no, it's the end of the world, you know.
Mm.
But then I suppose I'm a bit like that when we lose as well. So I can't really... Even though I was like,
I always have been myself, you know. Yeah. But there's I feel there's something different about this season. Yeah. It just doesn't feel the same to me, and that's obviously down to Dyche, because that's the only difference, you know. Under Lampard and, you know, Benitez, and even, you know, towards the end of Carlo and with Koeman, Martinez, Silva, all the rest of them, you know, I never felt like we had someone who was in sufficient control of things, that when things did start to go against us, that had any real faith in them turning it around. But it just doesn't feel the same for me under Dyche.
No, he's doesn't feel like he's made a bit more solid foundations almost, mm-hmm. you know. And also, you feel like we can dig out like results sometimes when we're not expected to. So that's like a confidence there that the bottom three, just, they won't do that. They will not do that. So that is, the X factor we've got is, we can win games that are not expected to win at times. You know, I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, Man City or anything, but we'll...
Who knows, you know, on any good day, maybe we can, with like a little bit more luck.
I think with our first 11 out, we're like a decent side. We're a solid side. You know?
Yeah.
We are.
And fun just, bit, you know.
It's just the problem is, you've got... what happens is like the more you play players, unfortunately, you do pick up injuries, you know, you do.
Yeah.
And we've got some like older players now. I mean, although generally it's a pretty, you know, apart from a few, it is pretty young actually, to be fair. But like,
yeah, the average age isn't bad. You
some
know,
of the key players like Pickford, Tarkowski, Coleman, Garner, and Doucouré are a bit older. So,
yeah.
But then you need that mix. I think the only other thing I'd say is, like, with Dyche is, like, that sometimes he can be stubborn, but that's kind of his strength and his weakness, if that makes sense.
You know, you've got to be stubborn to be a manager.
I mean,
if you gave a shit what some knobhead on the terraces thinks or someone
else. I agree.
You know, you shouldn't be in the job. You know, he knows better than these people. You know, he just...
I agree. But the only thing I would, I suppose, you know, I'm not... You know, I think he's done a really good job, but the only question is sometimes, like you said, in the Wolves game, like he can see it's going wrong and he'll just stick with it because I think he just has faith in a certain amount of players.
Mm. But
and
then,
also I think with him as well, he sets up in the week, this is what we're going to do. And then it's almost like if he has to change it, it's almost like, well, that's failed then, and I can't really, you know what I mean? I can't, and I think that maybe accounts for some of the not getting draws as well. It's that he works on something in the week, and if it doesn't work, then I don't think he's like, that is, but then his strength is that as well. So it's like, you know what I mean? He's like, his strong point is also his weakness in a way as well. So there's funny like, one.
Against Wolves, you know, he had clearly seen it wasn't working because he was preparing to change the system when they got the sub.
Yeah.
You know, he'd had the subs out warming up for a few minutes, and then they got a stupid soft second goal. And then, obviously, the plan's sort of gone out the window. You know, arguably he should have made the change at half time.
He doesn't like making subs. He doesn't. He doesn't like it because...
It's not a case that he doesn't like it. He's explained this in the past that, you know, if think he has to think about what he's got that can really change things.
Yeah.
And if he looks at the bench and thinks what is there is not going to improve on what's out there, there's no point making changes just for the sake of it.
No, I agree. Maybe not liking is wrong. Maybe the word is he'd rather not if it's working.
Which is what you said, and that's right. You know, if it's working, why change it?
Yeah.
If you can't improve with what you've got, then why change it?
I just think sometimes, unfortunately, the way modern football is, especially with the teams where they've got like five subs, you do have to rotate a bit more. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but you know,
I'm not an expert. He's a manager. He knows more than me, definitely. But yeah, we don't have the depth. We don't have the depth of these other teams, you know.
No.
But
yeah, we'll see how we go against Palace on Thursday. See if we can get back to winning ways and then build more momentum from there.
Build on and hopefully get some players back. Hopefully the moving to one game a week probably help us, because like a lot of our game relies on energy, doesn't it? And like we haven't had that energy for like, I wouldn't say that, but like, you know, two draining games, I think. The City and the Spurs game were draining games. I think those kind of drained the players. And also the schedule, the 9 games in like a month or whatever. And really it's the same players, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Which in a way I like, you know, that's what I mean when I say it's his strength. In a way I like that, because it's like, he's going back to that Moyes era where you know what the team is and the team's working and functioning.
Yeah.
So you don't need to make loads of changes. I get that. But I do think sometimes in game, maybe, but I do get the other side of it as well, that his point is that actually the statistics say that when, you know, subs don't actually make as much difference as you think. But,
yeah, as people think, yeah.
But fresh legs sometimes, you know, is a thing. But we'll see. Hopefully, like, certain players, like you said, certain players, it's on certain players as well, like Dan Juma, basically.
They've got to prove that they're worthy of a place.
Make himself, undroppable.
Undroppable, or give him no choice but to play.
An impact.
That's on to the players.
Yeah. A couple of times he's sort of come on, like the Spurs game, and he's had chances. And I think he was unlucky in that one, although he was a bit selfish. But that second one where it...
Yeah, the one off the bar was unlucky, you know.
Off the line, that was unlucky. I mean, and then in the Fulham game, I thought he looked quite sharp. But
I thought he looked okay. Yeah.
He had a couple of chances, okay, you know.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's just in, like, you know, in a vacuum of a game where we look quite flat, you know.
Yeah.
When him and Beto came on, we just looked a bit
looked
better.
A bit lively,
But then you're going to, aren't they, because they were fresher.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, hopefully we can go on another run. And
Well, we'll reconvene in a week or two, and hopefully we'll have a couple of wins to talk about.
Hopefully. Cool. In the meantime, that's off his.
Yeah, thanks for listening. If anyone has, probably basically us and my mum listening back to it. Okay, we'll speak again soon.
Yep. Till the next time. Ta-da.
Take care, bye.